Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello out there in the Blog Talkosphere. Welcome back to another episode of Brazzle. And here we are again. We are halfway through the week, which is always great. We made it this far. Just a little bit further to go. A little bit further to go, and we'll be at the weekend, which for some people may not be any more exciting than a Monday. But alas, it is halfway through the week now, and I appreciate you all for joining me here, whether you're listening to the show live or on the download. And thank you for supporting the show. I really appreciate it. I love seeing people interact on my Facebook wall. I love seeing people email me and connect in regards to stuff that we talk about here. And if you have suggestions on things you want to see me talk about, you can always contact me at michael@michaelbrazzle.com. Or you can contact me via Facebook, facebook.com/bhakti, BHAKTIWITCH is my fan page. M. Brazzle is my main page. So, but if you do contact me via my main page, just let me know that you're from the show so I know to add you. Because I usually don't add people who just randomly add me without some type of, if we don't have like mutual friends and stuff. So be sure that you let me know where you're coming from. And I will gladly add you to the friend list. And what else? Housekeeping. If you want to see the show continue, so we're running for the month of November. So we're going to keep running. We're going to do as much as we can for November. And we'll reevaluate it in November. And the show is going to go through a couple more incarnations. I already feel it. You know, once you start something, you put the energy out there, it starts to dictate which direction is going to be most effective for reaching the listeners that the show is meant to reach at this time. You know, because we take these breaks and we come back. It's breathing new energy and new life into the show. So it morphs, it changes, it evolves as we evolve as practitioners and as listeners. So my hope is that we can continue this process of evolution together. But if there are things you want to hear me talk about, I'm always open to that type of interaction and feedback. Just let me know, contact me, and I will do my best to get that information put online so that, you know, we can talk about those things. I'm going to try to do some question and answer episodes as well. So my hope is that I have lots of hopes. My hope is that we can continue creating a community, and I can be as interactive with you all as possible through this process. my own journey is continuing to shift and evolve. And I feel for me, I do this stuff almost in a very public way so that there is some transparency to my process, which I feel helps. I feel that sometimes when others are witnessing your process of growth and transformation, that it becomes an invitation for them to also then begin engaging their process of growth and evolution. So that is what I hope to do by being somewhat transparent with how I do these shows, but also just bringing you along for the journey. And I do appreciate those of you who have been with me for a while, those of you who are brand new. I do hope that you continue listening and just know that this show will continue to grow and morph and evolve. I'm making some big transitions for myself. I'm making some transitions professionally. I'm making some transitions personally. And through those transitions, it's impacting everything else. So as those transitions for me begin to morph into something much more concrete, then so too will all the projects that I engage in begin to reflect those new transitions. So I'm not going to give too many details yet around those transitions, but I'm meditating on them and letting them gestate a bit. You have to keep the lid on the pot just a little bit to let that stuff simmer. And we let it all cook together. That way, once I bring it forward, we can just hit the ground running together with it. So let's just take a moment just to center in, to show up, and just to arrive, because I feel that's just the best place to start always, right? So just take a few deep breaths wherever you are, however you are. Let yourself just come into the breath. Let the body breathe. The body knows exactly how to do that process of just inhaling and exhaling. Let the body come into alignment with its natural processes. Inhaling deeply and exhaling just as deeply. Letting yourself begin this process of deep listening. Letting yourself arrive in this moment in whatever way feels best for you. Letting yourself be here now in the moment. Letting this journey be one that empowers and inspires you. So tonight we're going to be talking about making fitness an act of love, but not just making fitness an act of love, making all that we do an act of love. There are a lot of obstacles that keep us from engaging new pathways of power, and we're going to talk about how we can work with that resistance. We're not going to dismantle resistance completely, but we're going to work on this process of integration. Remember, that's one of the key things that we focus here on this radio show, but in the work that I do, is integration. How can I live a more integrated, and what will that integration allow me to begin doing in the world that I might not be doing now? And through this process of self-awareness, contemplation, meditation, we begin to own the parts of ourself that may be resisting what is showing up for us. And it's so important to bring awareness to those parts and pieces, because those are the parts and pieces that keep us from starting. And this may be old trauma, grief. There could be so many things that are acting as barriers to power. And once we bring gentle, loving awareness to those parts and pieces, we then can move through them with grace. We're not trying to say there are parts of ourselves that are bad. So I'm not saying these barriers are evil parts of ourselves because we can't, you know, get off the couch and into the gym, or, you know, they're just there. And we have to find a way to work with those parts and pieces because they're part of us. So we can't say that I'm going to force myself off of the couch because I'm not feeling well or feeling motivated to do these things. We have to honor those resistances. So we're not trying to belittle ourselves for having resistance. We're just saying, can I look at my resistance in a way that it becomes a doorway rather than a barrier? It's just a subtle shift in perspective around those identities and those ideas we have about ourselves. And when it comes to fitness, and fitness is just a great place to play with this idea, because it is one of the places where we have the hardest time creating foundation, but then also maintaining in that foundation. I just heard some like crazy statistics today. Like most gyms, out of, you know, the 100% of people who sign up at gyms, right, only 30% actually commit to a prolonged gym visit. You know, they are the only ones who 30% of that, of those people who join the gym actually maintain and use their memberships in the gym. So that's like 70% of people who sign up at gyms don't even use their memberships. And there's a lot of reasons that we may fall away from or not step into those places, and we can make a thousand excuses. But, and we'll talk about goal setting and motivation in other episodes. But just today, I want to look at these processes, some processes of working through the initial resistance that may arrive in our bodies, in our auric fields, in our energy systems that may keep us from taking those first initial steps. And I want to talk about also taking first initial steps that are good for us, that are healthy for us, that allow us to do a continued practice, not something that we run into and we do for a few weeks or a few months and then we drop off and we stop. And I'm just as guilty as of these things, because it takes work to do this practice of self-awareness. It's like, this is why I, for me, the integration of spirituality and fitness is so essential, because I feel that spiritual awareness allows us to have a deeper communion with our bodies, a deeper connection with our bodies, its processes, its resistances. And when we have that awareness, we're able to step into and onto our path with a little bit more clarity, a little bit more direction, and a whole lot more love. So when I say making fitness an act of love, what I've often seen as a personal trainer, even yoga instructor, are people who are engaging the path of fitness as an act of war. And I'll repeat that. Most oftentimes as a personal trainer and even as a yoga instructor, I see people engaging their process of fitness and wellness as an act of war versus an act of love. Now, what do I mean when I say they're engaging this process as an act of war? Well, a lot of times people begin this process of trying to change themselves by first disliking parts of themselves. So we're not working out because we truly just love ourselves so unconditionally that we want to give ourselves the gift of fitness and wellness. We're working out because we hate the way we look. We're working out because we hate how much we weigh. We're working out because we hate our emotional state. We're working out because we dislike something about ourselves, and we're trying to force ourselves into this process to change that thing that is within us. And it doesn't work that way. And it may work that way initially, and this is where we get yo-yo dieting, we get people who start-stop with their workouts. We get people who get frustrated because they're not seeing the results that they are wanting. We want to come into a place where we love ourselves so unconditionally that the very act of going into the gym or getting on our yoga mats or going outside and going for a walk is an act of love. Can you for a moment love yourself enough to offer yourself the gift of fitness and wellness? And why do we want to make this an act of love? Because our bodies are how we move through the world. Our bodies are how we are able to connect to others. Our bodies are how we sense the spaces we're in. As magic workers, our bodies are where we harness magic and power. Our bodies are where we have sex. Our bodies are where we feed and eat delicious, nutritious foods. Our bodies are how we do so much. It's the vehicle through which the soul gets to experience this wonderful journey through life. And we only get one of them. And we live in a time where things aren't easy. There is so much difficulty all around us, pretty consistently these days. And it's not that that stuff hasn't always been there, but because of social media, because of the state of the world, we are a lot less able to get away from the sometimes cataclysmic events that are happening around us. And that does impact our physical body. Our emotions very much drive the physical body. If you've ever been upset, and I'm not talking about depression, I'm just talking about, you know, you felt, you know, like heartbreak is a good example, right? Most of us have had heartbreak at some point in our lives. Or not heartbreak, even just watching something sad, like you watch a sad movie, right? Or you watch some really sad news story, and it's like you feel this weight come into your body. It's almost, there's you know, with that weight, there may be a lack of motivation, there may be anxiety, there may be all kinds of things that arise. A depressive state may set in. I know when I was going through a really big breakup, my whole system shut down. It's like, I didn't even want to do yoga. I didn't want to meditate. I didn't want to do any of that stuff. I just wanted to just lay in the woe is me's. And you know, sometimes that's what we need. But I feel there are points where we begin to nurture the thing that is keeping us from taking positive, proactive action. And that's where we really have to look at, you know, if we can make fitness and movement and breathing and meditation all acts of love, then we're more able to step into those spaces. It becomes a much better invitation than I have to work out because I hate my weight. If that's my affirmation, and I'm working out, and I'm noticing I may be gaining weight because sometimes that happens initially before we lose any weight, or we're not losing the amount of weight we think we should be losing because we're not utilizing the gym or our workouts in the most effective way to lose weight, or not changing our nutrition to match the types of workouts. So there's lots of things that can keep us from doing and reaching our goals. And if we're in the gym as an act of war, we're engaging fitness as an act of war, we may not see the results we want. And we definitely won't see lasting commitment, because if we have this goal of, I'm going to lose till 150 pounds, I'm going to become 150 pounds, and after that, I'm set. What happens is we reach that goal, and this happened to me. I reached my goal, and then all of a sudden, I started pulling back because I hit that thing that in my mind would have created perfection for me. So I created this perception of perfection that was easy to attain. You know, it wasn't an easy journey, but it wasn't difficult. It wasn't an impossible attainment. What became difficult is staying there, because I fought my body. I battered it and beat it down to reach that goal. And then, but I never really addressed the underlying issues that were really the reason I needed to go to the gym, right? So that's where we have to really take a look at our intentions that are driving us towards fitness, because we want to create lasting lifestyle change. We don't want these things to be very temporary. And sometimes that may be the thing that gets us through the door, right? So I'm not saying it's wrong, and I'm not belittling anybody's process, because, you know, yeah, I may still want to lose a few pounds, but I can still have the desire to lose weight, but not hate my body because of the weight I am, if that makes sense, right? I don't have to hate myself in order to let that be my motivation to go to the gym. If I hate myself outside of the gym, that doesn't go away just because I start a workout process. It may alleviate some of the symptom that hate puts onto my body, but, and hate's a big word, but it's not that far from the word dislike. So I'm using this very heavy word because I want to drive home a point. But if I'm going there because I love myself enough to give myself this gift, and as a byproduct, I begin to lose weight. As a byproduct, because those are byproducts of fitness. When we start moving the body, we burn calories, we start eating more nutritious, more structured and balanced diets, we start engaging healthy lifestyle changes, the body does begin to change in reflection to those to those things that we're doing. So it's so important for us to give appropriate attention to our intentions that are driving us into those spaces to begin with. So I want us to really begin taking a look at those things. So how do we do that? How do we start? Well, you shouldn't just go into these things without a plan of action. And this is something that will also help you get over that resistance and over that sense of overwhelmment when it comes to starting these processes. So writing out or getting like a book or some type of, I'm going to be uploading soon some workout processes on my blogs and on my website so that you'll be able to download, and it'll give you like the starting points. Like, these are where you can begin if you want to start engaging in a fitness routine. These are the steps you can take if you want to begin transitioning to a healthy plant-based eating lifestyle. So I'll be posting some of those things in the near future. I'm drafting all that stuff up right now, so bear with me. But if you do need immediate help, like you feel like I need this now, don't hesitate to contact me via Facebook or via email. So always reach out if you need some guidance in doing this stuff, because it is overwhelming. And that's one of the things I hope to create with this show is, I know a lot of people are talking about spirituality. There's other shows that talk about fitness, but very rarely do we talk about how we can integrate our fitness and spiritual lives or pathways in a way that allows us to be powerful in all areas. A lot of times we divorce the two, and my hope is to bring these two together in a way that lets us feel more empowered. So begin by writing things down. What's your process? What are your goals? What do you hope to accomplish by going into the gym? Why are you desiring to begin making these changes? And when you write these things down, it's easier to look at and say, is this an act of war or is this an act of love? And if, say, for instance, I write down, I want to go to the gym because I hate that I weigh this much. I dislike the fact that I weigh X, Y, and Z. And then I can look at that and say, wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. And it's a pretty attacking statement on my body. So I can take that statement, I dislike the fact that I weigh X, Y, and Z. And then I can look at how can I turn this statement into one that becomes an act of love versus an act of war. We can say simply, it could be something like, at this time, I weigh X, Y, and Z. I love myself enough to begin this process of fitness. We just changed it right there. It doesn't take away the fact that we are in awareness that we may not be at the weight that we want to be, but we acknowledge the fact that this is a reality and this is a truth, but I'm going to work out as an act of love, regardless of the fact that I weigh X, Y, and Z. And it's a slow process. We can't just say, you know, I dislike the way I look at X, Y, and Z and put some potpourri on that turd and say, you know, in 2 weeks, I will not weigh X, Y, and Z. The power of attraction is pretty powerful, but it doesn't work that way biologically. And when we create these false goals, these false and unattainable goals, when it comes false refuges in fitness, it really diminishes our motivation. We don't achieve those goals. I will lose, you know, I have this book that I love, Jillian Michaels' workouts, and there's this book called Making the Cut. And this book has some of the best workouts in it. I love doing her workouts. And the book says, you know, lose 10 pounds in a month. And I've done it. Like, I followed her program to the T and I've lost 10 pounds like in a month. So sometimes it works out that way, but I was also doing the workouts differently as adding things in. So that could have played a part in it. Now, you may say, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in a month, and this book says I'm going to do it, and you may only lose 5 pounds. And then people go, oh, I didn't lose 10 pounds. Well, but you lost 5 pounds, which is great. And you probably got stronger. You probably went to the gym every single day. If you were following the routine as it is in the book, you were going to the gym pretty much, you know, 5 days a week. So that's great. We have to look at, these are the positive things that are coming out of this experience. We have to celebrate those things. If we keep focusing on this act of war that's keeping us in the gym, we're fighting it. Everything's going to look sour. I didn't go to the gym today. Ugh. You know, I didn't do what I thought I should do in the gym today. Ugh. It all becomes this act of war, and we're fighting it. Still celebrating the fact that we went in for 10 minutes, or that maybe today I needed rest, so I took that rest day. Instead of celebrating those things, we look at those things as negative. And we have to start changing the script around how we view our connection to our bodies and to how we begin these processes of moving into wellness and fitness. So another thing you should do is to look up and define what fitness is for you, because it's going to be different for everybody. And let that be something that also begins to work on your intention. So do you have a goal of running a marathon? Like you don't necessarily want to sign up for a marathon that's 2 weeks away. You've never run before. So we want to set realistic goals, right? So if my goal is to run a marathon, I may pick a date that's next year. So like for me, I do want to run a marathon, but I haven't done consistent running for a while. Like my focus has been yoga and these other things, and I might be able to force myself to do it, but that's where injury will come in. That's where could cause damage to the body. And we don't want to do that. We want to make this an act of love. If I'm going to run that marathon, I'm going to do it as an act of love, because it's a goal I have, and I'm going to work my way towards that goal as an act of love, not as an act of war. I'm not going to force myself to do this thing. So I began the process of looking, like, which marathon do I want to do? Okay, it's 6 months away. Now I'll develop a plan of action to achieve and actualize that goal. But I'm going to do it mindfully. I'm going to listen to my body in the process, and I'm going to be kind to myself. I'm going to do the best that I can to work towards that goal. But I'm going to be honest with myself too, because I think the other part of the fitness journey is being honest with ourselves. If something's not working out, we have to be okay with saying, okay, this workout plan just isn't working for me. I'm not enjoying it. It doesn't feel good. My body isn't responding. And then we have to give ourselves permission to change and be proactive in listening to our bodies as we move through the process of engaging fitness and nutrition, and really listening to what the body is telling us in regards to the foods we're eating and to the processes we are using to get fit. Like, say, for instance, you are doing a lot of treadmill work and you're running, but every time you get off the treadmill, your knees are aching, your body's sore, your hamstrings are super tight the next day, you're not stretching enough, your body just doesn't like running. You know, your body will tell you, I hate running. The meditation we can do around that is, do I just dislike running because I'm not used to it? Am I disliking running because it's causing damage to my body? And if it's causing damage to my body, what can I do to maybe alleviate some of that stress my body's taking on engaging this process? Can I make this running an act of love? And can I do this mindfully? Can I listen to my body? What is my body telling me? Maybe my body's saying I need to stretch more. Maybe I need to change how I'm stretching, or maybe I should change my shoes or change something. Or maybe you just don't like running, but you think you have to run in order to get your cardiovascular system active and awake. There are other ways to engage the cardiovascular system. You can take aerobics classes. You can go for a walk. You can use the elliptical. You can use any of the other number of machines that most gyms have. There are ways to engage cardio without using a treadmill. But people assume that running is the only way to engage this process. And there are times when I'll use the elliptical and I just get used to this pattern, but I'll do it even though my body's not wanting it. And then the next day, like even this machine that's supposed to be not as much impact, next day I'm just sore and I'm cranky. And the day before I felt like maybe I should run, but I pushed that aside. I didn't want to run. So I talked myself out of the run and I forced myself onto the elliptical, and I ended up not liking it the next day. So we have to learn to listen to our bodies. And this is where I feel yoga has it down. Yoga includes meditation as part of that body practice. But I feel that when we do gym workouts, we don't include that mind-body part of the experience when it comes to general fitness, weight training, resistance training. We're not bringing the mind-body link there, because the mind-body link really opens us up to the soul. It opens us up to our natural intuition, which will allow us to be much more engaging and engaged as we step into the process of fitness in whatever way we are stepping into it. So we're going to go back to writing down. Write down your intentions. Write down your plan of action. Make a list of things that you love about this process that you're taking on. Those are the things that you want to think about. Those are the things that you want to put some meditation around, put some energy around. When you're in the gym, what emotions are arising for you? And what emotions are you working on? Are you in the gym because you're angry? What can I do through the space of moving my body to maybe process some of this anger that I'm experiencing? What can I do maybe to move some of this grief that I'm feeling into the space of my yoga practice? Like, how can my yoga practice move the grief or become a catalyst for working with the grief? So take a look at those things and write those things down. It's so important to keep a catalog of your processes. One, so that in the future, if you need to go back and want to start over again or need to start over again, you have a log or record that's gone from point A to point Z with you. And you can come back and go through that journal, see what needs to change, to see where you may have had really great workouts and want to do them over again. But it's also about accountability and discipline. If I have a journal or a calendar and I start noticing a lot of days that I'm missing, you know, I'm not going to the gym, because I may circle those days in a highlighter or something. And I'm looking at my calendar and there are days that I probably should have gone, could have gone, but didn't go. I can hold myself accountable. I can say, and not in a negative way, I'm punishing myself, but I can look at it and say, what kept me from going in those days? What did I need to stay out of the gym those days and out of fitness? Or was there something that some greater resistance that was keeping me from taking those first initial powerful steps towards wellness? And just doing that even is powerful, because say, for instance, the thing that I'm working with is procrastination, and it's my procrastination that kept me from going. I would just do busy work to the point where I could no longer get to the gym because there wouldn't have been enough time to do the workout, quotations, air quotes, that I wanted to do. So I can look at those days and say, well, these are days I really procrastinated. Like, I really put it off and didn't go because I just ran out of time. What can I do to manage my time more effectively in the future so that I can take the time to love myself through body movement, through yoga, through meditation, whatever it is? What can I do to carve out that time? So that's just one example. But having that log gives me the awareness that I am, you know, falling off a bit. And that awareness is powerful, because now I can do something around that. I can take a look at that and I can be proactive moving forward. But not having that awareness, not having that space to look at, you know, and that space becomes an invitation to change, an invitation for you to be more empowered in your processes. So take a look at that stuff. Write it down. If nothing else, and I harp on this in almost every show I ever do on every topic I ever talk on, you should keep a journal. Journals are powerful. And when it comes to workout journals, you know, you can buy the ones that are pre-printed for you, and there are some great ones out there. One of the best workout journals that I truly love, it's called I Will Get Fit This Time. You know, and the title list says it all. but it's really an easy book to use. There's lots of places for goal setting, and they have little stickers of little yellow stars. So there's that journal. The plain thing that I don't like about the news journals are that they don't really give you a place to write down like diary entries. This is how I'm feeling today. These are the emotions that are arising because of my practice. These are the things that I feel may be keeping me from practice today, but I'm going to make the conscious choice to do X, Y, and Z. So we have to sometimes create our own journals. And I'll just get a blank notebook and let that be my fitness journal. So it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be expensive. It just needs to be something that you're going to commit to writing in and taking on the journey with you as you step forward. So, you know, look at ways to make fitness an act of love. And we're going to talk about nutrition in regards to how we eat being an act of love or an act of war in later episodes. But there's a lot around that too. When we emotionally eat and we're unconsciously putting things into our body, that also becomes resistance. So having a diet plan, talking to a registered dietitian or talking to someone who is more experienced in those fields to help you make those transitions to healthy eating. I do recommend doing lots of research. Don't go into things blindly. Read lots of books, scour the web, but don't trust everything that you see either. Remember, if you do have health issues, health concerns, consult your doctor before making any radical transitions in diet or nutrition. Because even when you start making healthy changes and you may be on medications, sometimes those healthy medications are making you healthier. If you're taking medications that will contradict you getting well, your doctor should know so they can maybe take you off certain medications. Like my mother, she had the gastric bypass. And because of the gastric bypass, a lot of her ailments began to reverse themselves. So her doctors had to take her off medications because she was getting better because of the surgery. So you have to be mindful of that as your body gets well, you may need to have adjustments made to medications, et cetera, et cetera. So you should really be ensured that you're talking to those other people in the health continuum, the doctors, the dietitians, those people who have your best interests in mind. But remember, ultimately, it has to be your decision to take these steps towards wellness. And when we are taking proactive part in our health care, we can just be more active. We can be more a part of this beautiful experience called life. It gives us a way to process our stress. People sleep better. They're less stressed. They're healthier when they engage the body, the mind, and the spirit in these ways. So look at where your resistances are and make a list of the things that keep you from doing this stuff. And then ask, what can I do to begin the process of loving myself enough to take these steps? And it doesn't have to be radical steps. It could be simply, I'm just going to park a little further today so I can walk further to get to work. I'm going to not eat that candy bar first thing in the morning. Or I'm not going to put a ton of sugar in my coffee. It could be very simple steps. It could be, I'm going to turn off all my electronics at night so I can sleep better through the night, so I can wake up rested versus restless. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, right? It can be anything. It doesn't have to be, I'm going to commit to going to the gym every single day for 3 hours. That might not be a realistic goal for you. Your goal may be, I'm going to do my best to get there for 20 minutes and do 20 minutes on the treadmill or 20 minutes on the elliptical. I'm going to do my best to wake up every morning and do 10 push-ups. So it could be anything. It doesn't have to be something massive. It could be massive. It could be, I'm going to work out every day for 10 hours, right? I wouldn't recommend that. But it could be something like, I'm going to hit the gym every day for 6 days a week, one rest day. I'm going to do a two-day split, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It could be whatever. It could be as detailed and expansive and complex or as simple as you need it to be to make it an act of love. But that has to be the goal. It can't be, I'm going to go to the gym 6 days a week because I hate myself. Because you're not going to hate yourself any less in the gym. You'll probably end up amplifying those feelings of dislike towards yourself. And I see it so much. I see people who are there, they don't think they're big enough, so they're going to work out. And what happens is we have this offset in perspective, because where there's an act of war, we don't see the changes, the beneficial changes that are being made. This is why sometimes you'll hear the statement, usually you're the last person to see the changes that are happening because of your new processes. It's because our perspective is so hyper-focused on this goal that we're not seeing all the other really wonderful and beautiful things that are happening. And I see that too sometimes with meditation practice or even spiritual practice. People get so hyper-set on quieting their mind in meditation that they fail to realize the whole purpose of meditation is to be okay with the noise. And they're so focused on there being total and complete that they don't even realize, you know, they've sat every day, twice a day for, you know, 6 months. And that's beautiful. The very fact that we've committed that long to this beautiful process. You may be doing yoga and like your whole thing is to get this crazy arm balance, but you fail to see because you're not getting that arm balance, you get angry, but you're not realizing that your hamstrings are so much more open, your body doesn't feel sore when you wake up, you're much more flexible, your posture is improved. We fail to see all the really great stuff because we're so hyper-focused on this one very specific thing to happen. And that gives us tunnel vision in a very dangerous way, because if we get so focused on that thing and we don't get it and don't see all the really wonderful stuff that's happening, we'll stop. We'll decommit to the process. And then we fall back into old patterns and behaviors, which then brings up more blame and more guilt and all this other stuff that we didn't have to work through. And then it gets even harder to start again the next time, because all those gains you've made because you didn't achieve your perceived perfection will be lost. When you stop going to the gym, you stop making headway towards those things, you stop your processes, everything goes sets right back in. You know, so, you know, you stop doing your yoga practice and your body gets tight again. And then when you come back, it's even harder to start because now you're working through all this other resistance. You have all the resistance that was there before, but now all this extra resistance is there. But even if you're coming back into it and there's all this extra resistance and it's tough to get back going again, go again. Because no matter where you are, there is always room to begin again. You can always start again. Each day is a new day. Each breath is a new breath to start fresh, to start brand new, and to begin again in whatever way works best for you. So that's all I have for tonight. Lots of stuff there. Be sure you share the show, send me emails, let me know that you're enjoying what you're hearing. I'm going to be making some more changes. There may be even another name change for the show in the next couple days. I don't know. We'll just see what happens, because I feel this whole thing is growing and changing and becoming something new and exciting. And I'm excited to share that with all of you. But let me know if people aren't listening to the show or I don't feel people are getting the most from it. I will shift my energy into something else, because I want to be sure that I'm giving my time and energy to things that are going to benefit people. And if this isn't benefiting people, I need to scratch it and then shift energy maybe someplace else that will be more beneficial. But I have Google Hangouts that I'll be scheduling soon. I'm going to be doing local stuff here in South Carolina and Washington, D.C. in regards to fitness and nutrition and spirituality. If you're in the South Carolina area, November 10th, I'm doing a workshop on awakening your inner healer at the Unitarian Church as part of the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans here in Columbia, South Carolina. You can find me on Facebook for more details, facebook.com/BHAKTIWITCH, Bhakti Witch. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for sharing in this experience. Remember, if there are things you want to hear me talk about, send them to me, and I will gladly do my best to talk about those things. If there are things that you have private concern around or just need some motivation or resources to get started, let me know, and I will direct you into the appropriate to do that work. I really want to again express my gratitude for being able to do this, being able to be here with you all now, whether it's here live or whether it's in the download. But I love each and every single one of you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Be whole. Be present. And just know that you're loved. Namaste.